Today's daf is Gimel. We're going to continue along in the story we started yesterday. Before we go on, I just want to point out that the story has two levels to it. There's the drasha, okay, from the pasuk which we saw yesterday. Kol ha'goyim nikbatzu yachdav yasfu lumim, mi bahem yagid zot, v'rishonot yashmiyunu. This is what we got up to, right? So I'll stop in the middle of the pasuk because that's so far what we saw. Kol ha'goyim nikbatzu yachdav, that all the goyim go before God, la'atid lavo. Okay, so we're getting to the end of time. The goyim are coming to God, and God says, whoever did Zechar Torah will get the Zechar now, will get to the Olam, to the Olam Haba. And then, but it's not like Olam Haba when you die, it's the Olam Haba at the end of time, right? So whoever has done the right thing, so all the goyim come, right? They come all together, and then God kind of separates them, right? He says, you can't come all together, each nation by itself, come and give your claim. Mi bahem yagid zot, right? So then they all try to say, we did the Torah, and God says to all of them, what are you talking about, right? And then they all say, well, you didn't give us a chance to have the Torah. So within the story, I just want to point out, and we'll see as we go along, there's the main storyline, and then there's all sorts of questions that were asked on the side. If you notice, the story's in Hebrew, and then all these questions are asked in Aramaic, like, why did Romy come first? And how do you know that the most important one is the one who comes first? And why are Romy and Paras mentioned by name and the other ones aren't? And why, right? So all these side questions are asked on the side, and I'll already kind of give you where we're going with this. In Yehuda Brandes' article, he claims that the darshan has a one-sided look at the goyim, that everything's all for the bad, you know, and that they're all full of bad stuff. And the commentary is trying to justify their actions and say they're not as bad as you think, okay? And that this train of thinking, that there's two kind of tracks, we're going to see also, because we're going to see some sources that contradict other sources. We're going to start with one of them, in fact. That these two tracks exist in general, okay? And that his claim is that the Masechet starting out with this to already show you that there's these two tracks and that there's two ways of looking at it. And as I mentioned in the story yesterday, I mentioned the Gemara and Shabbat Lama Gimel, where there's the whole story of Yehuda ben Gerim and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and I think Rabbi Yossi is the one who's just shotek, you know. And Yehuda ben Gerim is saying, oh, look at all the great things the Romans have done. They built roads, they built this. There's a little bit of a difference between his claim and God's claim, because God claims, well, they claim to God in this story, they did it for the Jewish people, right? There, he's just saying, look what they did great things, and we're benefiting from them. And, you know, Rabbi Yossi shotek, and if I'm remembering correctly, it's Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, what do you mean? They're just doing it for themselves and, you know, for their zonot and prostitutes and etc. Just like God retorts to them here. So also in that story, you have the two different approaches. Are the Romans, you know, they're okay. They do good things. Let's appreciate what they do versus the approach of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who is very, you know, that everything they do is bad. So that same thing comes up here. So right now we got up to Umiyagidzo, then Virishonim Yashmiunu. We're up to that part of the story. That was the four lines from the bottom. God says, what are the Rishonot Yashmiunu? That Sheva Mitzvot Shekibaltem Echan Kiyamtem. Okay? In other words, first they claim, well, you didn't give us the Torah, right? And then God says, well, you didn't want the Torah. And then they said, well, neither did the Jews, right? You can see that back and forth, neither did the Jews, right? That's part of this saying, well, Jews are no better than non-Jews. They also didn't want the Torah, right? And then they answer, no, because kafale am har kigigit. So then they say, right? Again, this isn't part of the story. This is part of the drasha. In other words, what was their claim when they said, what do you mean you didn't give it to us? So the question is, what do you mean they said you didn't give it to us? They were offered the Torah, right? They were offered a chance. So then the assumption of this commentary is, it must be saying, well, you didn't put the hard kigigi, just like you forced the Jews to accept the Torah, you could have done the same to us. The Jews didn't want it either. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaRishonot Yashmiunu, Sheva Mitzvot, we'll start there, even though we did this already, but we'll start here for today, four lines from the bottom of Bet Amud Bet. Shneimar Rishonot Yashmiunu, that's the Pasuk, Sheva Mitzvot Shekibaltem Echan Kiyamtem, right? Where are you, at least we're supposed to do Sheva Mitzvot, in other words, forget about the Torah, fine. I didn't force it upon you, but you could have at least kept the Sheva Mitzvot, and then you would have gotten rewarded. So now again, in comes the commentary and tries to justify them. Uminalan de lo kimum. How do we know they didn't keep the Sheva Mitzvot b'nei Noach? Detane Rav Yosef amabi modeh eretz ra'ava yetzer goyim. Ra'a Sheva Mitzvot shekiblu alayhem b'nei Noach v'lo kimum. Now we kind of have to understand the statement of Rav Yosef. Okay, Rav Yosef says, God saw that they weren't doing the Sheva Mitzvot, and therefore, kevan shelo kimum amad v'hitiran. God matired the Sheva Mitzvot to them. So the Gemara is going to start questioning this. What do you mean God matir the Sheva Mitzvot? Okay? Yitur Yitagar? What? Because they weren't keeping the Sheva Mitzvot. God decided to reward them and say, oh, well, you don't have to keep them and you won't get punished. So Amar Marbury Duravina Lomar Sha'afa Pishma Kaiminotam Emekablim Alehem Sachar. So then he says, no, it's just that not Matir Lahem, it's Matir Lahem that there's no reward for them if they do them, if they keep them. Vilo, is it really true that they don't get sachar? And here's going to come another statement which appears contradictory things appear all over Shas. Vilo, vahatanya haya Rabbi Meir omer, minayin shafilu ovei kochavim v'osek b'torah shehu kekohen gadol. How do you know that if you have an ovei kochavim who's osek b'torah, then he's like a kohen gadol, which we assume means, right, what's it basically saying? Why kohen gadol? It's saying when it comes to Kiyum Mitzvot, there's no difference between, you know, even within Judaism, there's a hyrarchy, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. When it comes to Kiyum Mitzvot or Isuk B'Torah, everybody's equal, not only Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, even, not only Gerim, right, even non-Jews. Okay? So, comes Rabbi Meir, makes this statement. Talmud Lomar, how do we know this? Because it says, Asher Ya'aseh Otam Ha'adam V'chai Behem, very famous pasuk, right? That the mitzvot are meant to, right, you'll live if you do the mitzvot, and notice what it says there, Adam. Okay, what is Adam? Adam is a general statement referring to a universal, anybody. Okay? Kohanim Levim V'Yisraelim Lo Ne'amar Ela Ha'adam Ha'lamadita Shafil Ovei Kochavim V'Osek B'Torah Hareu K'Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now we're left with, I'm going to keep going for one more minute to keep the flow, and then I'm going to go back to this, because this is a problematic statement. We'll see why, in light of other statements that seem to contradict. So Rabbi Meir says, if that's the case, they say, if Rabbi Meir says you get sachar for Isuk B'Torah, then how can you say that God took away their opportunity to get sachar for the Sheva Mitzvot? Ela lomar lecha she'ein mekablim alehem sachar kemitzuveh ve'oseh, ela kemisha eino mitzuveh ve'oseh. They're no longer commanded to do them, and if you're no longer commanded, your level of reward is less than other people. Now, it's a little weird because Rabbi Meir just said that they're like a Kohen Gadol, but the assumption is they're like a Kohen Gadol and the fact that they could get Sachar, it's just their level of Sachar is going to be less. Okay, Da'amar Rabbi Chanina, Gadol HaMetzuveh Ve'oseh, we've seen this a bunch of times, right? The one who's commanded to do something, his reward is, or her reward is greater than Yoter Misha Eino Metzuveh Ve'oseh. Okay, then someone who's not commanded. This is the classic I always think of, you know, when your parents, right, well, women, it comes up in women get less Sahar for Torah, according to this. It's like when your parents ask you to do the dishes, it's much less exciting once they ask you to do it. If you do it of your own volition, right, then it's easier to do it of your own volition than if somebody tells you. So therefore, the reward for somebody telling you to do something is greater. So now we're going to assume that what they meant was, kevan shelo kimum amad v'hitiran lahem. Okay, hitiran lahem means that they're not going to get as much sachar for them, but they still will get some sachar. Before we move on, I want to just go back to the statement of Rabbi Meir. So there's a bunch of contradictory statements around Shas to this statement. Okay, one of them being, we saw this in Sanhedrin, that Rabbi Yochanan says, an Oved Kochavim that does here, that Minayin Shos, Nochvish Osek B'Torah, Chayav Mita, Shene'emar Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, Morasha, Lanu Morasha V'lo Lahem. Okay, the Gemara there, by the way, brings the statement of Rabbi Meir and says, how could Rabbi Yochanan say, you're Chayav Mita for being Osek B'Torah, if Rabbi Meir says, you get reward. So there, the Gemara answers a different answer. They say that there, it's B'Sheva Mitzvot it's talking about. And Rabbi Yochanan was talking about the rest of the Torah. Okay, and that's one distinction one can make. And in fact, the Rashba in his Psikal HaLacha says that's the difference. Okay, the Sheva Mitzvot they're allowed to learn, and Shara Torah they're not allowed to learn. Another answer that's given could be our sugya. You could say, based on our sugya, it's not that, again, you'd have to explain why is chayav mita. Okay, there's also other gemaras in Yevamot. There's a gemara that goes against this. The gemara in Yevamot there says, our gemara basically assumed that she'yaseh otam adam v'chay bahem. Adam includes, it's a universal word. But the gemara in Yevamot says, Zotarata Adam, Adam ki amut ba'ohel. Okay, and the Dine Tumah don't apply to non Jews because Adam doesn't include non Jews. Okay, so how do you say Adam doesn't include non Jews there and it does include here? So it seems to contradict. Now it happens to be a different context, and we know sometimes it says, Kol Ezrach includes women, Kol Ezrach excludes women. So you could kind of say, depending on the context, but they view that as a contradiction. And the question is also, why is it asur to teach a goy Torah? Like, what are the reasons? So our sugya could explain maybe that, again, there's a difference between eino mitzuveh va'oser or not. That's another possible answer. There's a source in Bamidbar Rabba that basically says that the goy that Rabbi Meir is talking about, an oved kochavim va'oseg b'Torah shuke kohen gadol, is only if he's mitgayer, only if he converts. And therefore, there's no question at all, because if he hasn't converted, then of course he's an Ovei Kochavim who's going to be Chayav Mitah, like Rabbi Yochanan said, and he's not considered Adam. Okay, so there's all different approaches. The Rambam has an interesting approach. He distinguishes between Christians and Muslims. And he says that Christians, his problem is he's worried they're going to misuse the Torah. And he says Christians are not as, we're not so worried, and therefore it's okay. But Muslims are dafka problematic. Okay, interesting that he says that. Right. Also, he's living in Muslim Spain. Maybe he saw them as a big threat. Maybe he didn't understand Christianity as much. And why he exactly distinguishes between Christianity and Muslims is a good question. Anyway, this is a very basic question. And where does this come up? It comes up in day schools nowadays. When there's day schools in America where there's a lot of kids who aren't necessarily Jewish, there's a whole debate. Can we teach them? Can't we? Can we accept them? Can we not? And it's a big debate about this issue. Well, you know, many of the day schools do include them, but there are places where they're, you know, they say, oh, if they're not Jewish, they can't be in a Jewish school based on this issue of not teaching Torah to non-Jews. So there's a lot of different approaches within it. I didn't want to get to it and not touch on it. Okay, so back to the story. Which also, by the way, the different approaches is exactly what Yehuda Brandis is claiming is going on in the text here, that there's these two different approaches underlying the story. There's the story itself, which is very anti the non-Jews, and then there's the Parshan who's trying to kind of find room to say, oh, wait, but, you know, like here, when he says, well, they do get reward, it's just they get less reward. Okay, so if that's the case, then this is what the non-Jews are claiming. Ribono shel olam, Yisrael shekibluha hechan kiyamuha. So in the end, they're basically saying, if God's saying, right, let's go back to the Rishonot Yeshmiyunu, okay, we're trying to understand this line. Sheva mitzvot shekibaltem echan kiyamtem. So the commentary says, how do you know they didn't accept them? And then they said, because Rabbi Yosef said, right, God, he teared them. But then they explain in the end, no, that just means, according to Rabbi Yosef, that they don't get as much reward, but it doesn't mean they don't get any reward. So therefore, you have to re-understand this drasha, this line in the drasha, that they said, how do you know, instead of trying to claim, well, we also did it, they're going to claim, how do you know that the Jews kept it, right? Okay? Yisrael shekibluah hechan kiimuah. Where do you see that the Jews kept the Torah, right? It's easy to start blaming somebody else. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani me'i bahem shekimu et haTorah kula. Okay, then God says, I'm testifying to them that they, you know, I will give my testimony that they have kept the whole Torah. Amrim lefanav, okay, here come the smart non-Jews, and what do they say? Ribono shel olam, klum yesh av she'me'id al beno? And how could you possibly testify about your son? You're karov le'edut. Dichtiv b'ni b'chori Yisrael, right? God calls them in Sefer Shemot, you're my b'ni b'chori, right? B'amar tal paro k'amar Hashem b'ni b'chori Yisrael. So you said they're your b'chor. If they're your b'chor, well, then you can't testify about them. Your testimony's not accepted. Amar lema kadosh baruch hu, shamayim v'aretz ye'idu b'hem. Fine, that's not good, so the shamayim v'aretz will testify. Shekimu et ha-Torah kula, okay? Shamayim v'aretz, right? Ha'azino ha-shamayim v'adaber v'tshamayim v'aretz. We see that shamayim and aretz are used as edim. They could testify. אומרים לפניו, ריבונו של עולם, שמיים בארץ נוגעים בעדותן. Okay, these non-Jews clearly know a lot of Torah. What do they say? They're also נגעים בעדות. Why? שנאמר, אם לא בריתי יומם ולילה, חוקות שמיים וארץ לא שמתי. It's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. And what is Rish Lakish Darshan here? Rishon ben Lakish. My dichti vayi erev vayi boker yom hashishi. Why does it say yom hashishi with the hea yidiyah? All the other days say yom shlishi, yom rivii. Why does it say yom hashishi? Milamed shi itna kadosh baruch hu imaseh bereshit. Okay, that God made a tnai with the maseh bereshit, meaning the shamayim va'aretz that God created. He made a tnai. Ba'amar, im Yisrael mekabalim et torati mutav. If the Jewish people keep my Torah, then great. Bim lav, ani achzor etchem l'tov avo. And if not, then you're going to go back to tov avo. So there was this tnai, meaning that if the Jews keep the Torah, it's in the best interest of the Shamayim Va'aretz to testify the Jews kept the Torah, because if they don't keep the Torah, then the whole Shamayim Va'aretz are going to be destroyed. And therefore, they're no ge'a be'edut. Okay? V'amar chizkia, mai dechtiv mishamayim mishmat adin, Eretz yarav shakta. Okay, what does this mean? Mishamayim, came forth the judgment, and the land was fearful and was silent. Im yarav lama shakta. Im shakta lama yarav. If it was fearful, why was it quiet? If it was quiet, why was it scared? Ela b'tchila yarav ulevasof shakta. Okay, originally it was scared. They were worried that the Jews were going to be judged, and as when the judgment came, they were worried the Jews were going to be judged that they didn't keep the Torah. But afterwards, it quieted down when they realized that, oh, the Jews did keep the Torah. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mikem yavo v'ya'idu bahem b'Yisrael shekimu et ha-Torah kula. So now, the non-Jews say, well, you can't testify, God, that doesn't work. And God said, well, Shamayim Va'aretz will testify. No, that doesn't work. So what does God say? Fine, you come and testify. Okay, and I'm going to pick out non-Jews among you who can come and testify for the fact that the Jews kept the Torah. So here comes God's retort. Okay, and we're going to see in a minute where they get this in the Pasuk. If you remember the continuation of the Pasuk, it said, I'll already kind of give it away, but after we show no Yashmiyunu, right, where God says, well, you didn't even keep the Sheva Mitzvot I gave you, and then the non-Jews said, well, neither did the Jews, or go prove it, right? This is Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. Go prove that they kept it. So then it says, Yitnu Edehem B'Yitzdaku. Remember we said, who's the Edehem? The non-Jews. So the non-Jews will bring their testimony about the Jews, and will be Matzdik Otam. And in the end, God kind of turns them around to basically say, well, you're going to end up testifying for them. Yavon Nimrod B'Ya'ib Avraham Shelo Avad Avodah Kochavim. Okay, Nimrod should come and testify about Abraham that he didn't worship idols. Yavo Lavan v'yei b'Yakov shalom nechshad al agezel. Okay, Lavan should come and say, right, remember the whole speech that Yaakov makes to Lavan at the end, I didn't steal anything from you all this time. Tavo eshet potifera v'tayi b'yosef shalom nechshad al avera. Right? So notice these are both people, Lavan and eshet potifera, who suspected, right, they claimed anyway that the person was stealing things from them. That he didn't do anything wrong. Right, remember he wanted them to bow down and they wouldn't, so let him come forward. Okay, they weren't allowed to pray, and Daniel basically davened. Okay, Yavo Bildad Ashuchi v'Tzufar Anamati. Remember these people? Ve'Elifaz HaTemani and Eliyahu ben Brachel Abuzi. Okay, these are all the friends of Iyov. V'Ya'idu b'Yisrael. This is interesting that they said, I'm not sure why they got this job. V'Ya'idu b'hem b'Yisrael shekimu et kol haTorah kula. Okay, and they'll testify about the Jews that they kept the entire Torah. Right. I don't know why Eliyahu ben Brachel, there's a debate about whether he's mentioned or not. Rashi says, Lo gar sinan di Yisrael hava. Ah, that's why. He was Jewish. Okay, the other friends apparently were not Jewish, but he was Jewish, so that's why they take him out. Now, he kind of got lumped here by probably the person putting the text together, because he was of the friends of Eo, but he was a Jewish one and the rest of them weren't, so we're trying to find non-Jews here, and that's why he shouldn't be there. Okay. Shneamar yitznu edehem biyitzdaku. Okay, so here is it that the non-Jews are going to bring their testimony and will justify the Jewish people. Amru lefanav. Okay, so basically now the non-Jews are at the point in this discussion where they haven't done the Shavuot mitzvah b'nei Noach. The Jews have done the mitzvah of the Torah. They've now testified to the fact that the Jews have kept the Torah. And now Amru lefanav, but they still want to have some hope. Amru lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, tna lanu merosh v'nasena. Give us a chance, a new chance. Give us the Torah now and we'll do it. Okay, remember, we're now at the end of time, right? We're at the world to come. Amar lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shotim shaba olam. You idiots. Mi shetarach b'erev Shabbat, yochal b'Shabbat. Mi shelo tarach b'erev Shabbat, mehechan yochal b'Shabbat. Right? You have to prepare for the Olam Haba. You can't just come when you're already at Olam Haba, right? When it's already this comparison, the Shabbat's Me'ein Olam Haba, right? It's another proof of this story where they're comparing Shabbat, right? It's like the week is preparation for, it's like Olam Hazeh is all preparation for Olam Haba. And if you don't prepare in Olam Hazeh and do what you're supposed to do in Olam Hazeh, it's too late to when you get to Olam Haba. Ela af al pi chen, but he says to them, but you know what? I'll give you one more chance. Mitzvah kala yeshli v'sukashma. I have a very easy mitzvah, and its name is sukkah. Why is this so easy? Some of the mafreshim saying, I thought this was funny. It's very inexpensive thing to do, right? I think about all these people who spend lots of money on the sukkah, the schach, everything, right? It's not always the cheapest thing, but some of them say it's, you know, maybe for them it was a lot easier the way they built their sukkot. Anyway, sukkah is its name. Lechuv asuota. Okay, why do you think they're referencing the Chag of Sukkot? There could be different reasons. One is there's this whole reference in the Nevi'im that in the future they will observe Sukkot, right? What?
The Or HaLevi'atan.
Right, the Orosh HaLevi'atan also in Sukkot, and the idea that all the Goyim are going to keep the Chag of Sukkot. It comes up in Yeshayahu, right? The Pasuk of Vahaviyotim al Harkachiv Simachim Beit Tfilati is all within the context, right? We always sing it in the context of, you know, Yom Kippur, we sing it, and we always think it's about us. No, it's actually a pasuk about the non-Jews, that they're all going to come, v'haviyotim al harkachiv v'simachtim v'et filati, in the time to come, and it's all about these psukim. They talk about Chag Sukkot, okay? The parei chag, or keneged the shivim umot, like the 70 parim that we bring in the sacrifices. So there's a lot of reference to Sukkot and the non-Jews, so I assume that's why they went with this. So keep Sukkot, and then you'll get rewarded. So again, the commentary comes in, could you say this? And it's, happy, give them another chance. There's no such thing as another chance. What does it say? Hayom la'asotam, hayom meaning in olam hazeh. Velo la'machar la'asotam. Hayom la'asotam, velo hayom litol sachar. It's two things. It's for you to do today, so you can get rewarded in the future, and so that you can do it today and not get your reward today, but get your reward in the future. Okay, so it's but you have to do it today. Ella she'en haKadosh Baruch Hu ba b'tronia im briotav. The idea is that God doesn't come. What's the translation of tronia? So tyrannically, it's interesting. It's the exact same letters, right? It obviously comes from the same root. I don't know. I didn't check up the etymology, but tronia is tyrannically with his briot. In other words, God has rachmanut, okay? And even though, technically speaking, they're not supposed to be able to do this, but God can do what he wants. Oh, here, the Gemara says it. I forgot this. The commentary comes and says, well, why is it called a mitzvah kala? Mishum delepe chesron kis. Okay, the Gemara says explicitly. I thought it was a parshan. No, it's not. It's the Gemara says explicitly. It's, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money. Miyad kol echad ve'echad notel v'holech v'oseh sukkah b'rosh gago. Okay, everybody immediately goes up to his roof and makes a sukkah. V'kadosh baruch hu magdir alehem chama b'tkufat tamuz. Okay, what does God do? Even though, right, he basically creates a summer sun, okay, to come beating down on them. V'chol echad v'echad, and that's, what was he doing? He was testing them to see, do they really want to keep this mitzvah or not? Let's make it difficult for them, and let's see, can they survive? So what do they do? Kol echad v'echad miva'et b'sukkato v'yotze. Kicks his sukkah down and leaves the sukkah. Shneamar, where does this come from? This is not the same pasuk, okay? I want to remind you, the pasuk we've been quoting all along is from Yeshayahu Mem Gimel. Now they're moving away from the pasuk, even though, interestingly, they don't darshan the last few words of this pasuk, as far as I noticed. V'yishmu'u v'yomru emet is the end. But I don't know why they didn't continue that in the drasha. But now they're moving on to a different pasuk where they're going to take two pasukim from, that are one right after the other from Tehillim. And it says, ninatkat mosro temo, that means we're going to let out our are buying, you know, we were bound and we're letting it out. We're going to take off the ropes that were put on us, meaning they let go of all the, it's like the all mitzvot, they threw it off them. No, thanks, but no thanks. Makdir, v'ha'amart, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Babatroni Am Abriho. Didn't we just say that God has rachmanut on them? Why did he do this to them? Mishum Yisrael, nami zimne demashcha lehu tkufa tamuz ad chaga, v'havele tzara. In other words, it's not that he did it only to them. Sometimes he does it to Jewish people also. Sometimes Sukkot comes out. We all know. We've sat in our Sukkot in very hot weather, if you're living in Israel anyway, and certain other countries. Definitely not in Canada. But there are some times where it's very hot in the Sukkah. V'havu leitzara. Okay. And yet, the Jews still keep to it. So you see that he wanted to compare. But now the Gemara asks an obvious question. V'hamar Rava, or I would say, this is when you have a drasha and you're talking in the world of the realm of drashot, all of a sudden they come in with the halacha. But v'hamar Rava, mitzara pater min sukkah. What do you mean? If it's so unpleasant in the sukkah, you actually don't have to sit in the sukkah. So they didn't do anything wrong. So they say, "Dihide patur biute mi mevate." Yes, it might be true, it's patur, but they shouldn't kick the sukkah. Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now what happens? Okay, now, like I said, we're not darshaning the end of that pasuk anymore. We're now darshaning the pasuk that comes right after the pasuk about Mosrotemo. It's from Tehillim Perek Bet, pasuk Yemol. So pasuk Daleh reads, Yosheb Bamarom Yischak Adonai Yilag Lamo. Okay, now it says God's going to laugh and mock them. So that's what happens immediately after they throw off their olive mitzvot, and it's here they were still, we want the sachar, we want to get olam haba, and then God gave them another chance, and then they blew it. So God laughs at them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Mishachek Aleihem, Shenemar, Yoshev HaShemayim Yitzchak. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Tzchok Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Oto Yom Bilvad. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak says, by the way, this was the only time that God was ever lo'eg, like, ever mocked like this. Okay, some people say that Rabbi Yitzchak's statement wasn't said about this, it was said about something else. We've seen this before, where they quote a statement, and then they say, oh, by the way, this statement actually wasn't, you brought it out of context, it was said in a different context. So here's the different context. Rabbi Yossi omer, la'atid lavo, ba'in ovdei kochavim u'mitgayirin. Okay, so there's another source, right, it's not b'mikre they brought this source, it's another source about what's going to happen, la'atid lavo. That the Ovdei Kochavim are going to come and convert. Umi mekablim minayu. If it's already atid lavo, it's the same kind of thing, right? How can we accept them? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, ein mekablim gerim liyamot ha-mashiach? Okay, that you don't accept converts in yamot ha-mashiach. Kayotze bo lo kiblu gerim lo b'yamei David v'lo b'yamei Shlomo. Why is that? Do you remember this? We saw this before. They didn't accept gerim at all in those times. Why not? Because life was really good for the Jewish people. Everything was prospering. Everything was good, just like Yemot HaMashiach. And we don't want them coming. It's like, Lahavdil, but it's like rooting for the team that's winning, right? And if you have a team, you stick with your team, whether they're winning or they're losing, right? But if everyone all of a sudden becomes fans of the best team just the year that they're winning, that's a little phony, right? So we don't want Gerim to just come to the Jewish people because life is good for the Jewish people, and they think, oh, it's easy, and, you know, they think this is the good, I'll get the good life if I write. This is definitely relevant to nowadays, you know, where, let's say, the Russians all came to Israel, even though they weren't all Jews, but they wanted to get out of Russia, they came to Israel, things were good, and that's part of the reason why there's a lot of negative feelings by some of the rabbis toward them converting, because of this kind of a Gemara. So, Em Kablim Gerim Limor Mashiach. Ella, so what do they say? Shenasu gerim gururim. Okay, they became gerim that really stuck to the Jewish people. As this shows, it's true that you shouldn't accept them if they're just coming for the wrong reasons. But in this case, what did they do? They were minichim tefillin barashehem, tefillin b'zerotehem, tzitzit b'bigdehem, mezuzah b'pitcheihem. Okay, so they really came, and they were doing it full, they really became full-fledged Jews, all good. But what happened? Again, right? Remember, we have to find Rabbi Yitzchak, who explains when was God mocking the non-Jews. So it's basically a midrash that's very similar to what we had. It's just a different version of it, or a different, you know, different details. When they saw the Melchemet Gog Magog that comes right before the end, right, where there's this big battle against the Jewish people, Omer lehen al ma batem, so they said to Gog Magog, what'd you come for? Omrim lo al Hashem v'al Mashicho. We came to fight against God and against his Mashiach. Shenemar, lama rokshu goyim ulumim yegu rik. You have to read the rest of the pasuk, otherwise it doesn't make sense. Oh, it actually doesn't quote it here. It's the next pasuk. Okay, and it's set, right? Where is it? Tov, Tilim Bet. Oh, it doesn't quote it. Okay, the rest of the pasuk says, the next pasuk says, basically, they come here. If you pass me the Tanakh, I'll open it. I'll show it to you inside. Yeah, here. Okay. Yitzvu Malchei Aretz v'Roznim Nostu Yachad Al Hashem v'Al Mashicho. Right? The Malchei Aretz and the Roznim are going to come together against God and against his Mashiach. Okay? It's one of those places where they don't quote the important part of the Pasuk. They assume you know the rest of it by heart. So what do they say? Right? So, V'chol Echam Minatek Mitzvato V'Holech. Shenemar, again, what's the next Pasuk? This is from the same Perek in Tehillim. Ninatkat Mosrotemo. Right, and they get rid of all the burdens upon them. They get rid of the all mitzvot. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, again, the next pasuk is Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yosheva Misachek Shneamar Yosheva Marom Yitzchak. And on that, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Schok Ela Oto Ayom Bilvad. Okay, so that was two versions of what Rabbi Yitzchak said it on. They're both in the same vein. Okay, either they came and converted, or according to our version, they came and just wanted to keep some mitzvot to get some reward in order to get into Olam Haba. Now we're going to talk about the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. We're going to get off on a tangent about Rabbi Yitzchak and the schok of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ini, is it really true that God is never does schok? V'hamar Rav Yehuda Amarav, 12 sha'ot havei ayom. There's 12 hours in a day, in the daytime hours, right? We know there's 12 sha'ot zmaniot. Okay, there's 12, the day is divided into 12 hours, not necessarily 60-minute hours, but hours according to halacha. Shalosh harishonot HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev v'osek b'Torah. Okay, this is an image. Obviously, this is, you know, against those who think you can't personify God. Okay, this is like an image of what God does during his day. So the first 3 hours, God is yoshev v'osek b'Torah. Shniot, the second 3 hours, yoshev v'dan et kol ha'olam kulo, judges the entire world. Kevan sheroesh enitchayev olam kliya. Okay, that was the midat hadin. When he sees, well, the world is pretty bad, we should destroy it all. Omei mikisei hadin v'yoshev kisei rachamim. He moves off from the kisei hadin and says, better move on to kisei rachamim and have rachmanut on people. Shlishiot, the third section of the day, yoshev v'zan et kol ha'olam. Okay, this is the hashkacha pratit to the extreme. Okay, that God now takes care of providing for every single being, kulo mikarnei re'imim, from the biggest animal, ad beisei kinim, until the teeny little eggs that the lice bugs hatch.
It'd be okay if he didn't.
Yeah. We'd be in better shape if God didn't sustain those lice eggs, yes.
You know, it also describes basically the way of the human life, that you spend early years learning, and then you spend the rest of your life building, working, and everything, and you always get softer towards in your later years in life, and you become a Rahman.
Ayafe.
More than Din.
Aha, yafe. So that as time goes on, you know, you look at that. I like that image. So you start off learning, and you see things by the book, and then over time, you realize that you get more perspective on the world, and you kind of soften up, yafe. And then maybe you feel this responsibility toward the world, which is the next one. And then I think this beautifully fits into your image, Naomi, the continuation. Revi'it, yoshevu misachekim liviatam, right? What do people do when they retire? They sit around and enjoy life, right? It's hard to enjoy life earlier. Everyone's so busy running, right? At the end, you sit back and enjoy life. Yafe, I like that. Okay, so God hangs out, plays, so to speak, with the Leviathan. By the way, this is saying, okay, Shenemar, Leviathan ze yatzarta lesachek bo, right? That's a pasuk we know from Tehillim, right? The Leviathan was in order for God to have a playmate, basically, which is a strange thing to think about what exactly that means. I can't really explain to you what that means. But as if you go with Naomi's image, it's this time to, you know, relax.
Enjoy
your grandchildren. Yafeh. Okay. But what does this show? First of all, this shows that God is sochek, right? Now, it happens to be, it's a strange, the first sochek we saw was he was lo'eg. It was a mockery. This is a sochek of a laughing, which shows that sochek has two sides to it, right? A positive and a negative. Maybe it's the same concept, that things can be used in different ways, just like non-Jews, that we've talked about, this image of the non-Jews being, you know, there's positives and there's negatives about it, right? There's this issue that, you know, we benefit from them, we communicate with them, they're good people among them, but yet there's also a lot of hatred among them against Jews, etc., and there's that aspect. So, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Im Brio Tav Mesachek Ve'al Brio Tav Eino Mesachek. So he says exactly what I said, which is, well, with his briot, his mesachek, meaning he'll play with them, but al briot avino mesachek, but he will never go against his briot and mock them. There's only one time in the world where he ever did it, and that was when these non-Jews came at the end of time and tried to claim, you know, we want a place, but they didn't really mean it. And then he mocked them, because that was deserving of mockery. Ela oto yom bovad, right? The only time he did it was that one time. But he'll never mock the briot otherwise. Amar le Rav Acha le Rav Nachman, bar Yitzchak. So now he says, even though you said he's sochekim aliviatan, that all ended from the day the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. God could never have that kind of schok he had in the earlier time. How do we know this? God called on that day for crying and unhappiness and all that. That's not a great proof, because Dilma Hahu Yoma Betulo, it said on that day, maybe just that day and not past that. Ela dichtiv imeshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini tidbak lashoni lechiki imlo es karechi. Maybe that's it. No, Dilma shichachahu daleka avaschot miyaika. That's just don't forget. It doesn't mean you can't have happiness. And in fact, it's interesting, right? We always say that in a time of happiness. You can have happiness, you just have to remember within your time of happiness that there's also the pain. Ela meha, it must be from this pasuk. Okay, it's a pasuk from Yeshayahu Membet. Hecheshiti meolam acharish etapak. I'm reading the whole pasuk. Ke yoleda efa. I'll scream out like a yoledet. Eshom veeshaf yachad. Okay, so this is basically saying hecheshiti meolam acharish. In other words, forever I will be silent. Okay, and that's it. God saying that's it. I've had it. Right. I'm not going to play anymore. So then, what if we have a question? So if that's the case, what does God do at the end? He sits and teaches the children. Now, there's an interesting debate here about what children is he teaching. Is it all children, or is it children who have died? Okay, I think it's Rashi who says it. Yeah, Rashi says it here. It's dafka children who have died that are up in Shamayim. God takes care of them. Okay, that's what he does. Shneamar, but others say no, it means he's teaching children who are alive. Shneamar, because they're the most pure, right? They're the Shneamar. Maybe it's like Naomi said, taking care of the grandchildren, right? That's the et mi yored de'av et mi yavin shmua gmule mechalav atikei mishadayim lemi yored de'av lemi yavin shmua. That's to who is he going to teach? Ligmule mechalav ol atikei mishadayim. Those who are weaned from chalav and are you know finished with breastfeeding. Okay, so some people say they're finished because they died, and some people say no, they're finished because they've just gotten to that age where you know they're done with that, they're ready to learn now. Umeikara, now they ask a better question. So if God did that only once, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and he can no longer be Mesachegim Aliviatan, so Meikara, man hava migmar lahu. That's who taught them before that. Ibait Ema Mitatron, this is one of the Sarim of God, one of the angels, the top angels. Maybe he took his top angel and he did it, or she, you know, however you call an angel, he, she, it. Ibait Ema Havaha Avid. Okay, maybe he did them both. Okay, God was both Mesachegim Aliviatan and also taught the children. Ubalel Yamai Avid. Okay, so that we dealt with the day. What does God do at nighttime? Right, obviously God doesn't sleep. Ibad ema me'en yamama. Maybe he's got the exact same schedule at nighttime. V'ibad ema rochev al kruv kal shelo v'shat b'shmona asar elef olamot. Maybe he right, goes around the world every night, checking out all his olamot. 18,000. How do we know there are 18,000 olamot? Shneamar rechev Elohim ribotayim alfei shena'an. Okay, what does this mean? Alfei shena'an. Al tikra shena'an ela she'enan. Okay, the Rechev Elohim is Ribotayim, that's 20,000, and there's Alfei She'enan. There's, Alfei is plural, so there's 2,000 that are not, meaning it's like 40 minus 1, right? Arim Chaser Echad, it's like 20,000 minus 2. So it's minus 2,000, so it's 18,000 Olamot. V'bayit Ema, some say, Yoshev v'shomea shira, mipi achayot. He sits back and listens to the chayot, right? Those are types of angels, singing. Shenemar, and now we're going to see a bunch of different drashot of this pasuk. Yomam yitzaveh Hashem chasto, ubalayla shiro imo, imi. Imi, what is it, one second? Shiro imi? Yeah, okay. So during the day, yitzaveh Hashem chasto, ubalayla, the song is with me. What this with me, we'll talk about. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Levi, okay, so this is a separate thing. We're going to get back to this pasuk soon. But right now, we're basically saying that that means that God sits at nighttime listening to the shira. So Rabbi Levi says, anyone who stops learning Torah and starts osek b'divrei sicha, having conversation, machilim lo gachalei retamim. He serves them coals from the broom tree. I was reading up in the Koran about it. It explained that the broom tree is... has coals that retain their fire for a very, very, their heat for a very long time. The coals that they make out of the broom, I guess the parts of the broom tree, create an intense heat, which obviously is the worst, right? So if you do this, you get really punished. Shenemar kotvim maluach alei siach v'shoresh ritamim lachmam. Okay, the roots, all right, they make it from the roots of the broom tree, and that will be their bread. Okay, that's what they're going to be eating. Amarish lakish, Kolo seik b'torah balayla. Okay, here's a different version of this pasuk. If you learn Torah at night, okay, there's some people talk about the value of learning Torah at night. It comes from here. If you learn Torah at night, Moshe, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe chalav chut shel chesed bayom, shenemar, yomam yitzaveh Hashem chasto, balayla shiro imi. Matam yomam yitzaveh Hashem chasto, mishum de balayla shiro imi. Okay, there's the imi comes in. In other words, God's saying, I will give my chesed to those who have their shira with me at nighttime, meaning they learn at nighttime. Ika da amre, some people say, Amarish lakish, kolo seik b'torah ba'olam hazeh, hadomet lelaila, anyone who learns Torah in this world, which is like the nighttime, hakadosh baruch hu moshech alav chut shel chesed ba'olam haba, just like we talked about earlier today, right? Do your work in Olam HaZeh, you'll get it in Olam HaBa. Hadomeh liyom, right? Olam HaBa is like day. Shneamar yomam yisaveh Hashem chasto v'chulei. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now we're going to ask a question that we're going to see a bunch of different answers, but or at least two. I don't know how far it goes tomorrow, but we'll get into more answers tomorrow, but we're going to see one today. Lama nimshalu, sorry, I skipped it. The pasuk dechti, v'te'aseh adam kidgei hayam, kiremes lo moshel bo. Okay, man will be like the fish in the sea and like the creepy crawlers that nobody rules them. Lama nimshalu b'nei adam kidgei hayam? Lomar lecha ma dagim shabayam kevan sholim liyabasha miyab metim? Just like the dagim, as soon as they get to the yabasha, they die, right? They go on land, they die. Af b'nei adam kevan shaporshim midivrei Torah min ha-mitzvot miyab metim. You can see, by the way, the entire theme is what, if we go back to the very beginning of the story, it was all about who gets the sechar of the Torah and they'll get into Olam HaBa. It's all about the importance of Torah, which is also what differentiates us from the non-Jews. Like, that would be the obvious theme here. If we're trying to talk about Avodah Zarah and what differentiates us from Avodah Zarah, it's interesting that it's not in terms of belief in God. Right? You might think it would all be about belief in God, but it's all about Torah. Maybe belief in God is too up in the air and that they focused on Torah, which is, you know, something tangible that people can grasp and can do and can focus on. That's what typifies us from the non-Jews. So the continuing on in that theme, even though they're not really talking about non-Jews in this context. So apnei adam kevan shaporshim midivrei Torah umin ha-mitzvot. If you leave that, miyab metim. Okay? Can't live without Torah. If you leave Torah, you'll die. Tavar acher, ma dagim shabayam, kevan shagadra alehem chamau. Here's another one. We're going to have a few. So the second one is here. Dagim shabayam, since kadra alehem chama, the sun beats upon them. This goes back to the sukkah also, right? What happens when the sun beats upon them? Miyab metim. Kach b'nei adam, kevan shagadra alehem chama, miyab metim. Men die in the heat. So now, what are they talking about? Men die in the heat. Do people die in the heat generally? So we're going to see. Some people say this is referring to Olam HaZeh, and some people say it's referring to Olam HaBa. Ibai Dema Bo Olam HaZeh Ked Rabbi Chanina. Tama Rabbi Chanina, I've seen this before. Kobi De Shamayim Chutz Mi Tzinim Pachim. Shneamar Tzinim Pachim B'derech Ikesh Shomer Nafsho Yerchak Mehem. This goes back to the concept of Hashkacha Pratit that we talked about, that there's things that are Tachad Hashkacha Pratit, but there's other things that aren't. If you go out in the sun and get sunstroke, Can't say that was the hand of God. If you're well, freezing cold weather and you don't dress properly, whether or not it causes a cold, I don't know, but that was the common, right? Even, right, it's the general, people say, oh, you get a cold because you walk outside in the freezing cold. So in other words, that's what this pasuk says. Sanim pachim, these cool, cold things are b'derech ikesh, shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. Someone who's careful should stay away from, you know, getting heat strokes and freezing cold weather, not taking care of themselves, because that will cause you to get sick even without God. That's not Bidei Shamayim. How does it mean Olam Haba? Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Ein Gehenom Olam Haba. There is no such thing as Gehenom, okay? If you want to know what Gehenom is, he tells you. It's not what you think. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Minartika U'Makdir. He takes out the sun and it beats down on everybody. And now this is a great for, you know, dermatologists or, you know, that the sun is very dangerous. And it's going to say like this, Rishaim nidonim ba, v'tzadikim mitrapim ba, right? We all know that the sun is very dangerous. However, there's also, the sun provides vitamins and other things. If you don't ever get sunlight, it's also bad for you.
And heals psoriasis.
Right, it heals. Right, it heals all sorts of people. So now they're going to say here, the Rishaim are going to get destroyed by the sun, and the Tzadikim are going to get cured by it.
Which ties us back to the Sukkah, where they wouldn't stay.
Yes, exactly. With the Sukkah, they wouldn't stay out in the sun. Exactly, and they're more like the Rishaim. Dechtiv ki hine ayom ba bo'er ketanur vayu kol hazedim v'chol ha'oseh rishah kash v'lihet otam ayom ha'ba amar Hashem tzva'ot asher lo yozev lehem shorish v'anaf. That's the pasuk about the tzaddikim, that this day is going to come, it's going to be a burning day like fire, and it's going to, you know, this day is going to come and destroy them through heat. Okay? But tzaddikim mitrapim ba, dechtiv, zarcha lachem yirei shemei shemesh. Okay? Zarcha lachem yirei shemi. The sun will shine on those who are fearful of me. Shemesh tzedaka umarpeh b'knafeha. Okay, the shemesh will bring tzedaka, and then it will bring marpeh b'knafeha, will cure them. V'lo ad ela shemit adnim ba, sh'ne'emar, v'yatzatem u'fishtem ka'aglem marbet. They'll thrive on it, okay? They'll leap like the calves of the stall. I'm not sure what the stall is, the marbet. But they'll leap like the calves. They'll be in great, you know, it'll bring out the best in them. Okay, tomorrow we'll see another translation of these Degim Shebayam and what the connection is.